the great Deacon Yaakov Elk.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today I'll be speaking on benefits come from doing what we're told. Now if you turn to Deuteronomy 28 for my first scripture, that's on page 169. Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 through 2, it says, "And it will be, if you will listen diligently to the voice of Yahweh your Father, by observing and doing all His law which I command you this day, that Yahweh your Father will set you high above all nations on earth, as His kings and priests. And all these blessings will come upon you and accompany you, because you obey Yahweh your Father." Because you obey, that's why the blessings are coming upon you. And then if you go down to verse 14, "For if you diligently observe and do all of Yahweh's law, then you will not turn aside from any of the laws which I command you this day, to the right hand nor to the left, by doing after God to serve it." And that's excuses, going to the right hand or to the left, saying, "Oh, I don't need to take that. Oh, why do we need to obey?" That's going to the right or to the left. But we're told to go to the priest and do what they command you to do. If you go to Deuteronomy 17, page 161, Deuteronomy 17, verses 9, it says, "Go to the priest who are Levites and to the judge who is in office at that time. Ask for their decision and they will give you the sentence of judgment. You must act according to the sentence they pronounce for you at the place Yahweh chooses. Be careful to do all they order you to do." Did you get that? Do all they order you to do. So we see there to be obedient. Don't make excuses for your sins. Be obedient. Now, excuses from dictionary.com. It means to serve it as an apology or justification, to justify ignorance of the law or excuses, to justify your sins. That isn't what we're taught to do. Have responsibility. Now, when you do this, when you make excuses for your sins, or when you don't do what you're told, if you go back to Deuteronomy 28, you fall into that category of verse 15. Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. It says, "However, if you do not obey Yahweh your Father, and do not carefully follow all His laws and His statutes, which I command you this day, then all these curses will come upon you, and they will accompany you." All these curses because you don't do what you're told. Now I have some examples of that. Benefits come from doing what we're told. We know the law of eating honey and butter. The apostles and prophets did it. Yeshua did it. In Isaiah it says that He will eat honey and butter, so He may choose righteousness and refuse evil. So I have some articles here. Honey's unknown benefits. Some people don't know of these. Now, it says, the first one here, it says, better athletic performance. Now, let me read that. It says, "Glucose found in honey plus other natural sugars can provide the same boost to athletics." Then the next one, "Improved sleep and relaxation." It says honey can promote relaxation and help ease you to sleep at night. The natural sugar found in honey. That's honey from real bees, not the stuff you buy at the supermarkets. The stuff that the things that the house of Yahweh provides for you, that is real honey from real bees. It improves sleep and relaxation. You have fewer allergies. It says taking a high quality raw local honey for 2 months before allergy season can actually lessen your allergies. Bees carry pollen that aggravates seasonal allergies. That's only if you do what you're told and take the honey and butter, then you will have fewer allergies. It heals cuts and scrapes. Honey has antibacterial properties that prevent infection and minor cuts and wounds. And then it moisturizes skin. It not only attracts water, but it helps to retain it on hair and skin. Because of this, honey is added to countless shampoos and soaps. Now next, here's the benefits of raw honey. That's honey that's not heated up. It says raw honey's antibiotic properties are effective in treating colds and sore throats. Raw honey coats the throat and reduces irritation. For blocked sinuses, mix a teaspoon of honey in hot water. That's not to where it'll cook it. Put a towel over your head and inhale the steam. To treat allergies, take a teaspoon of raw honey a couple times a day, starting a few months prior to allergy season. And I know this works. I have done it myself. Now, raw butter. We're told not to only take honey, but raw butter. Now, it says raw fats cleanse, fuel, and lubricate, and protect the body. It goes down further. It says the best fats to eat is unsalted raw butter. You're supposed to salt your sacrifice, but you take that raw butter with the salt. Raw cream and full fat raw milk. It soothes and lubricates nerves and muscles, including the heart. We'll hear more about that. It gently cleanses and lubricates the liver and restores moisture to the thyroid gland and heals intestinal lesions from dryness. That's the raw butter. It helps your heart. Raw butter strengthens the organs and glands. It heals your eyes so you don't have to wear glasses. Cleanses the arteries and the vascular system of plague from hardened cooked fats. It lubricates bones, cartilage, and teeth. So you see the benefits from doing what you're told, taking honey and butter. Now an example of that, why butter is better. It says heart disease. Heart disease I'm going to give you some facts about some butter. Heart disease was rare in America at the turn of the century. Between 1920 and 1960, the incidence of heart disease rose to become America's number one killer. That's because people didn't do what they're told and they did not take butter. During the same period, butter consumption plummeted from 18 pounds per person per year to 4. Then it says, actually, butter contains many nutrients that protect us from heart disease. So if we take butter and our honey, don't forget the honey, if we take butter and honey, it will cure us from all these troubles that we go through, the sickness, heart disease, and things like that. That's only if we do what we're told. So remember, always do what we are told, whether it be our supervisor, the priest, the deacons, whoever is over us, we need to remember to do what we are told. And so remember all these things. Remember to rejoice at this feast. And with that, if you all please stand. It's my great honor and privilege to present to you the great Kahan Shaul Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh, brothers and sisters. Shabbat Shalom. You may be seated. What a beautiful night we had last night, right? Praise Yahweh. And Yahweh has many more in store for us, brothers and sisters, and much beauty and to be seen here at Yahweh's feast. So please, I want to encourage everyone starting out here, don't miss any services, don't miss any classes and workshops. Be here at Yahweh's house. Yahweh brought you here. He brought us out of Egypt. He brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, and that's what we commemorated last night. So please, take advantage of every bit of knowledge that Yahweh is trying to feed us with. You'll be very thankful for it in just a very short time. But last night, we commemorated and celebrated Yahweh showing His power over the gods. And this is so important that we understand this, because the entire plan of Yahweh is Yahweh showing His power over the gods. All right? And please look at Genesis 1:26. This is Yahweh's plan. Even the verses that lead up to verse 26, the creating and recreating after Genesis 1:2, the earth and the heavens that govern the earth was all for the purpose of bringing forth a family of mankind. And a family that would be mankind starting out subject to sin. Okay, but Yahweh's going to show His power over the gods here. In Genesis 1:26, then Yahweh said, I will make man, that's man, mankind, men and women, in my image, according to my likeness, and they will have rulership, guardianship, care for, care and concern, guarding the way over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing, the microbes, the billions of micro kingdoms that were actually used in creation and actually create the things that we enjoyed last night, the cleanest food on the face of this earth. And Yahweh is going to have us guard these things. That was the original plan. When Yahweh put Adam and Eve in the garden, He commanded them, He gave them His laws and commanded them to follow His laws, so that these things would be kept in His way. But in Genesis 3 here, this is where the gods came along. This is where Satan came along here and immediately started casting doubt about what Yahweh had told them. In Genesis 3:1, now the serpent was more subtle and crafty than any beast of the field which Yahweh had made. And she said to the woman, has Yahweh indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Yahweh has said, you shall not eat it. That's the tree of mixture here. Nor shall you touch it, or you will die. And the serpent said to the woman, you will surely not die. No, when Adam and Eve first gave in to sin, and they didn't just, you know, Satan didn't say turn completely to sin. Satan says, you'll be like the gods if you'll take a little bit of sin in you. And a little bit of sin won't hurt. That was the deception. That was the great lie. Because they didn't fall down dead immediately. Mankind thought, well, you know what? We can mix a little bit in. We can mix a little bit of sin and we'll be all right. And this is where the power of the God started. Remember, she said, you will be as the gods. And mankind fell for this. All right? Mankind fell for following the way of the gods. And this is what Yahweh's trying to get us to see here. And yes, at this time, the gods are much more powerful than mankind. Remember, we were created a little lower than the Malachim, but we'll be crowned with glory and honor if we qualify. But the gods are much more powerful than we are at this time, brethren. And that's why we never need to take this lightly. Never take the message of Yahweh lightly. Never let anyone get in any little bit of sin to talk you into any little bit of sin in your life. Because unless we draw on the power of Yahweh, and we'll see what this is shortly here, this power of Yahweh that Yahweh has over the gods, we will receive the result, the full result of the power that the gods have. Now, as we see there in Genesis 3, the power of the gods is merely to convince us to sin. That subtle and crafty. Here, you can take a little bit. No one will know. No one will see it. And you can still have joy. You can still have eternal life. You'll be like the gods. You don't have to be strict in these things. You can take a little bit. They made sin look desirable. But notice what the power of the gods really is. It's contained in that word die. Because turn over to Yekezkiah 18. Yekezkiah 18 in verse 4. The soul that sins, it will die. Now that's not just a big sin or 50% sin. What percentage of sin will cause you to die? Any. The slightest, minutest little thought of sin is going to cause you to die. And that's the only power that the gods have. Okay, that's the only power. Let me show you some examples of this great power of the gods here in Matthew 24. And this is what Yahshua showed us would be in operation. And remember, Yahweh allowed the gods to take over the kingdoms of the earth. And even when Satan offered Yahshua rulership over all the kingdoms of the earth at that time, Yahshua never denied that Satan had the power and control over that at the time, did he? But notice the great power of the gods here. In verse 7, for nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Micro kingdom or macro kingdom? Microscopic or full-blown humans here? And there will be famines and pestilences and disease epidemics and earthquakes. That's all the unnatural disasters, the unnatural weather patterns. The raging earthquakes, the raging weather patterns that can destroy a city in a matter of hours. An entire city. We've seen it here. One I remember was Joplin, Missouri. It was flattened in no time. Because of the great power that the gods have in turning mankind away from Yahweh's laws, turning mankind to sin and convincing mankind it's okay to sin. But Satan didn't fill Eve in with all the rest of these details here. And like we see running rampant now, it's at its peak. It's worse than ever before and it's fixing to get worse. No, we have not seen the worst of the power of the gods yet. We haven't seen their full-blown strength that they have. But even knowing this and Yahweh giving warning over and over through every prophet, through every work, through all the six works or five works before the last days, people will still gladly follow the gods. Does it make any sense at all that they would follow this? In fact, the only people on earth right now that you can find that are not following the gods is right here at the house of Yahweh. That's it, brethren. We're the only ones who have woken up to the fact of what the God's way truly brings. So the power of God, of the gods, the great power of the gods that they want to share with you, that Satan said, oh, you can be just like the gods, is death through sin. The power of Yahweh, however, is life through righteousness. Not 50% righteous. Not while somebody is watching. Not while you think nobody is looking. Complete, total, 100% obedience. And it's represented by what at this season? Our unleavened bread that we must eat for 7 days. Now, how much leaven does it take to rise the batch of dough? So little that you can't even see it. And it makes that bread rise. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with yeast bread, except at this time of year. And Yahweh gave that to us, gave us that law, so we would see what we need to do if we want to be in the image and likeness of Yahweh. Yes, it's as simple as that, brothers and sisters. And that is the entire purpose of the 6,000-year plan. To get everyone to see that there simply is no life where there is sin, where there is the smallest sin. But the only way to prove it was to allow mankind to fully and completely go the way of the gods and let them bring the full results of following the gods in their sin. That's the only way. Because the way man's mind works is, oh, if you'd only give me another 10 years, we could have done it. We were on the verge of bringing peace. It was right around the corner. But no, as Daniel 12 and in Matthew 24 shows us, a time is coming, the worst time of trouble that the world has never seen. And just because it hasn't occurred yet means, well, it's not going to occur, right? That's another lie of the gods. You know, you'll have peace and safety though you go your own way. Brothers and sisters, that the time is now to stop going our own way. Because this time that's coming, as bad as the diseases, as bad as the famines are going to be, as bad as the weather patterns are going to get, it's still nothing compared to when the power of the nuclear bomb is unleashed. And mankind is so brilliant that the best and greatest invention that man could come up with is something to blow up the earth. Look at the atom. What can we do with it? We can kill everybody. That is the greatest minds of the gods who inspire mankind with their false promises. The only other thing they can do with nuclear energy at this time is, you know what it is? Boil water. You think a nuclear power plant, they figured a way to get the electricity out of the atom and make life better for mankind? No. They can just create high heat that will boil water and turn a turbine to create electricity. That's as smart as mankind is in following the ways of the gods. Mankind still can't see it. It's got to get to the point of all hope of life being gone. Because the only thing they can see is the temporary pleasure, and I use that word lightly because it's not a true pleasure that they think they get from sin. They think they get pleasure. They think they get what they want, but they only get misery. Look at the number of suicides. Look at the sickness. Look at the deformed babies being born. What a glorious life that they have to look forward to. Look at the state of the economy, and everybody's worried about whether they're even going to have a home and food here because there's no rain to water the earth, to bring forth the food. The micro kingdoms are overtaxed. They're not warriors. They don't fight. They suffer. They suffer from the microbes that man created in mixing the clean and unclean in his various body parts that have now taken over the micro kingdoms that Yahweh created to where they cannot do their jobs. But this is the pleasures of sin. It maybe lasts 1 second anymore, but they still cannot see what they're doing. Well, after the last house of Yahweh, after that fifth era was destroyed, you know, there was no one to show them the difference anymore. And the scriptures were tried to be destroyed, but until this prophecy, the prophecies of Yahweh's last witness, establishing this very work that we're sitting in now, this seventh and western lamp that will never go out, Yahweh's message, pastor's message from Yahweh, the message that came from heaven, has been the same ever since this work started. It's never changed. And that message is, there is no power other than Yahweh. There is no source of power for life other than Yahweh. The only power of the gods is death and destruction. So don't be fooled by it. There is no life outside of Yahweh. That is the great message that our great overseer has been trying to get across. Yes, the gods are powerful in destruction, and Yahweh is not going to hold their planned wars back much longer. So we desperately need Yahweh's protection, and Yahweh has made great promises to bring this last work through, because they without us, those who died before us without us, will not make it. So there needs to be this last work alive as a witness to everything Yahweh said. So what has Yahweh done? He's promised in his prophecies the way of escape. And I remember the first time I read about this way of escape was in the Mark of the Beast, Volume 1. This book was put out in 1985. I didn't get my copy till 1987. A short while before I came, but there it is in chapter 11, the way of escape. And what's so interesting about the way of escape, you know, all the world right now, they want a way of escape. They want a way out of the troubles, don't they? They're not joyous, they're miserable. They want a way out. They want a way out of the hell that they're going through, even if that way out is suicide. They want a way of escape. The only problem with the world and what they want is the world wants a loophole. They want to be able to do their sins and, well, if I stand in this certain geographical location, I'll be okay. Whew. Okay, that's the way they look at it. Not so with Yahweh. Yahweh's way of escape is sin no more. That is the way of escape that we have from Yahweh. Sin no more. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15 and verse 55, the Apostle Shaul says here in verse 56, And it's not a reward of sin. It's not the pleasure of sin. What does he call it? The sting. The sting of sin. Yes, the false empty promises, and it should have been evident after the first sin that, you know, this doesn't feel so great. This really isn't a great thing to be doing here. I don't feel right. But the sting of sin is death. That's all there is. Now, you left that out and tried to lie and say, oh, you surely won't die. No, the sting of sin is death. But the power over sin, the power of Yahweh over the ways of the gods is what? The laws. Yahweh's laws is the power over the gods. It's Yahweh's laws that will keep us alive, and not just through the time of trouble here, but forever. It's Yahweh's laws. This is the power. And I don't mean one or two laws. Well, I do the first and the second, I think. Or was it the eighth and ninth? I can't remember. No, it's every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. Zero sin. Zero sin is the way of escape, brethren. Any sin cuts you off from Yahweh and that protection that we want. Please turn over to, well, let's read in verse 57. In thanks be to Yahweh, who gives us the victory over sin, the victory of overcoming. Through our great King and High Priest, Yahshua Messiah, whose memorial we just celebrated here. And I have to say, that sermon of Yahshua's memorial had to be the number one or number two sermon I've ever heard pastor give. I mean, did he hit the nail on the head? He exposed it. If your heart wasn't ripped open, there's something wrong. Your ears weren't open. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of Yahweh, knowing that your labor is not in vain in Him. Real quickly, turn over to Ephesians 4. And keep in mind what we heard the other night in verse 31. And let all bitterness, wrath, rage, anger, clamor, brawling, evil speaking, gossip, slander, blasphemy. Did I miss anything there? Be put away from you. He said all of it. Not a little bit, not hang on to a little bit. All of it. Along with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as Yahweh, for the Messiah's sake, has forgiven you. Don't forget Acts 3:19, that forgiveness comes with what? Repentance and conversion. Now, if you'll look over at Isaiah 1. We must get all sin out of our lives. All of it. Every bit of it. That is our only hope. It can't be a partial job. We can't leave anything behind. In verse 16, wash yourselves and make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Verse 17, learn to do righteousness. That's what the appointments of Yahweh are for. So that we can learn to do righteousness. That was the way of escape Pastor first wrote about in the Mark of the Beast. Let no man condemn you for keeping the appointments of Yahweh. That is the shadow for the body of from things to come. That's where we learn to put away all sin, to cease from all sin. If you are willing and obedient, verse 19, then you will eat the fruit of the land. And yes, if we're willing and obedient 100%, then yes, even the land will bring forth its fruit again for us. Now, Pastor is still teaching the exact same thing in the prophetic word, April, May 2014. Here, he talks about the prophecy of the place of safety and the protection. In Jeremiah 23, "Behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will raise up a beloved righteous branch, and the messenger whom I have sent to be my messenger thus shall succeed and will execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, those who reverence Yahweh," can you reverence Yahweh with a little bit of sin in your life? No, we can't. We've got to get it all out. "Will be saved, and the called out ones will dwell safely. And this is the name that he will proclaim to them at Abel, Yahweh Tzidkenu, Yahweh our righteousness, our complete and total righteousness. Behold, therefore, the days come, says Yahweh, that they will no longer say, as surely as Yahweh lives, who brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt," which we celebrated last night. "But they will say, as surely as Yahweh lives, who brought up and led the seed of the house of Israel into the protected place at Abel from all the countries where they had been driven, and they will dwell in their own land." I also want to present at this time the 13th book of Israel, part 2. Brethren, I do believe this is the most beautiful book we have ever put out. And I'm not just talking about the cover here, because the way of escape is in this book. You can't just look at the cover, although you will enjoy looking at it and holding it. It's a tremendous, beautiful book. But the way of escape is in reading it, studying it, and then putting it fully to practice in your life. And you will have that way of escape. And Pastor, this is your book. Praise Yahweh. And it is. It's the book of Israel. It's his book. Brothers and sisters, we have a great feast to look forward to. Please don't miss one minute of it. Okay? And at this time, if everyone will please stand. It's now my honor and privilege to turn the services over to the great Kohan Eliyahu Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. We want to start out with covering some news events that are showing exactly what Isaiah 24 spoke of, about how the earth is mourning and fading away, and also how his pastor is sounding this trumpet in these last days, once again telling people how sin is not going to fix this world, that only keeping Yahweh's law will. We're going to start out, I'm going to read you an article that came out of Newsweek. It's called Death on the Farm, and it's a story about a farmer named Dean Pearson. Now, I want to read you a little bit about his story, and then we're going to go into detail quickly about how this is not just a rarity. It says, "On January 21st of 2010, a cold, clear day, Dean Pearson woke up early as usual. The 59-year-old put on a pair of blue jeans and a hooded coat before the sun was up, and then he went to his barn, turned on the lights, closed all the doors and windows, powered off the fans, and cranked up the volume to his radio. He then shot each of his milking cows with a .22 caliber N1 carbine rifle, about 51 of them. So he shot them, he shot them between their horns and eyes, hitting their brains and killing them instantly. Pearson then sat down in a wooden chair with an upholstered seat, pulled a ski mask over his face, picked up a 12-gauge pump-action shotgun, and then shot himself once in the chest. Now, it was around 9 or 9:30, a truck driver from AgriMark Co-op arrived to collect the milk from Pearson's tanks. The driver saw a note attached to the barn door warning whoever found it not to enter and to call the police. He called his dispatcher, who called Pearson's milk inspector, who telephoned Bill Kernan, who was the farmer next door. Now, Kernan sent his grown son, Walter, and an employee to check out or to check on their neighbor. On the way to the barn, Walter ran into Dean's mother, Pauline, who had lived on the farm and had just occurred to be walking down the road. The two of them entered through the side door while the employee went through the back. Walter spotted Pearson first. Behind the blood-soaked chair on a narrow wooden desk attached to the wall, there were two notes written on yellow cards used to tag cows. One of them had phrases written like bullet points. Now, this is what was on the card. Lonely, discouraged, overwhelmed, no hope, can't go on, danger to my family, worn out. Now, the kids are so talented. Gwen, you are a good person. The other note simply said, sorry. Now, Pearson's story is not a singular story. A report come out of France reported that farmers are committing suicide. There's a suicide every 2 days, a farmer is committing suicide. Farmers are taking their lives. Now, it says that, and this is from France, it says from across the country, there have been farmers dying by suicide at a higher rate than the general population. The exact numbers are hard to determine, mainly because suicides by farmers are usually unreported, and they may be mislabeled as hunting or tractor accidents. And of course, the advocates for prevention suicide are actually making this point. They want to show that these suicides are becoming very, very deadly to their population, to their economy, to their persons themselves. And it says male farmers, of course, are 4 times more likely to kill themselves than female farmers. Now, since the crisis, speaking of the 1980 crisis when the droughts came through and many farmers lost their farms, in fact, there were 250 farms being closed every hour in 1985. Every hour. Now, the suicide rate is astounding. In India alone, in the last 16 years, 270,000 farmers, over 250,000 farmers, have committed suicide. And it's due to the oppression that they're feeling from drought and from the weather itself not cooperating with them and feeling that life is hopeless. Now, we also have some news going along with this. The first one's going to be about NATO and how they're not seeking a peaceful solution. And they admit they're not seeking a peaceful solution. Also, the next one's going to show how NATO agenda is to go through Syria, Iran, to get to Russia, to actually get to Russia. And then last but not least, there's a video about the temple that has actually been displayed beside the mosque in Israel. So if we could go ahead and play the news.
Joining us to discuss the situation in Syria, but further, is author and historian Dr. Webster Griffin Tarpley from our studios in Washington. Many thanks for joining us here on Press TV, Dr. Tarpley. Now, an unwilling opposition that sees regime change as its only objective. Whatever happened to SNC's promises for democracy?
Well, this is a group, the Syrian National Council, so-called, self-styled, of adventurers and international con artists, I guess we would say, who see their life as a never-ending succession of conferences in expensive hotels, and they're jetting around the world from Cairo to Istanbul to Paris to all of these different meetings. And naturally, they're carrying out their orders. The orders coming from NATO, from Hillary Clinton, from Haig, from Fabius, and the rest of them, are don't have a deal. NATO doesn't want a peaceful solution. NATO doesn't want a peaceful solution. NATO doesn't want a peaceful solution of the internal problems of Syria. They want the issue. They want the issue kept alive. They want continuing violence, continuing civil wars. They want continuing violence, continuing civil wars. They want continuing violence, continuing civil war, so that they can use it eventually, if the conditions obtain, for an aggression, for a coalition of the willing, an armed attack, a no-fly zone, followed by regime change.
That's the proposal to bring in those missiles to be voted on by the parliaments later this week. Do you think that Germany will ignore the sentiments, the German population?
You see,
This is a regular tradition nowadays that the parliament overrides the wish of the people. So many people here do not trust the parliament, they do not trust the government, and they do not trust the media. And what we have here is, you know, 80% were against the Afghanistan issue, and we sent our troops against the wishes. Then we are, you know, paying into the bankrupt euro currency against 80% of the wishes of the people. And now we are sending these Patriot systems. And that, by the way, and I made a mistake in the past, I said after Syria, it's Iran now. In fact, after Syria, it's also Russia. Russia will be under attack from NATO from within, through foreign agents, and that is a very bad situation. And unfortunately, I think it's a waste of time to talk to the Assad government, which is, you know, unconsultable.
Now, developing story this evening, Syrian rebels have reportedly rolled out the big guns, and it appears they're made in America. Security sources claim Washington's been secretly supplying advanced anti-tank missiles to what they consider moderate militant groups.
Palestinian activists say Israeli officials have unveiled a model of a Jewish temple near the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound in Jerusalem Al-Quds. Activists say the model of the so-called Third Jewish Temple has a big hall and can accommodate hundreds of visitors each day. Israeli authorities hope the project could attract tens of thousands of local and foreign tourists every year. Now, the Al-Aqsa Foundation for Endowment and Heritage has described the move as a direct threat to the mosque. The organization says the project is aimed at building enough support to make a Jewish temple an Al-Aqsa site. Palestinian groups have already warned of large-scale Israeli excavations near the Al-Aqsa's southern gate.
At this time, if everyone would please stand, I would like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael Hawkins. Shalom, everyone. Shalom, everyone. Beautiful. Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Yes, yes, yes. They're all yours, Yahweh. Praise Yahweh.
Thank you. Just a better light down now.
You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I hope everyone here caught that last. I hope you caught it all, but remember the temple. Remember our temple brochure. Remember Yekiska's prophecy about the temple being rebuilt that we brought out, the house of Yahweh brought out. And now they're saying they're going to build the temple next to the mosque on the Temple Mount. How about that? Praise Yahweh. Yahweh's prophecies prove true every single time. Every single time. The prophecies showing the wars are about to, the nuclear war too is about to begin. I keep telling everyone, you know, this is it. We're in the last part of the last generation that Yahshua says you're going to see, and he says it's all going to take place in this generation. The house of Yahweh is doing our part. We're doing everything I can think of, everything that I know of we can do. I've told Yahweh over and over, you know, I'll do anything, whatever it takes, I'll do anything. The last report I've had, I showed you this on the Sabbath. The nuclear war is coming, but there is a place of safety, says the House of Yahweh newsletter. The news medias that have run this now are up to 67,886. That's a lot of news medias throughout the world. And running this, they put it on their website for all to read. Yes, praise Yahweh. And those was the ones that Matthews told me this was like ABCs, NBCs, just
gobs of them was running this article. The other one, the one before that, the House of Yahweh Post new publication that uncovers cause of extreme weather. And now that one is up to 85,523. Yes, praise Yahweh. And I think Yahweh is going to show the whole world really, really soon. He's the one that's governing this. And we're being led and taught by Yahshua to do Yahweh's will, bring about His plan, His total plan. He's the one that governs that plan. Study shows small nuclear war would destroy the world. Just a small nuclear war would destroy the world. Put that back where you can see that, and they put, this was a article. Now get this, Ukraine crisis, U.S. plot to launch nuclear war with Russia. Now if you remember Malachi Martin's book, The Keys of This Blood, his interviews, he said, Satan, he called her the Queen, Mary, Satan is going to make war with the nations who will not worship her, the Queen of Heaven. And this article is put out by Press TV, and it's saying the U.S. has engineered the crisis in Ukraine's eastern border with Russia as part of its scenario to provoke. Remember, he just got back from visiting the Pope now. You remember that? Y'all, everybody saw that on the news. The U.S. has engineered the crisis in Ukraine's eastern border with Russia as part of its scenario to provoke Moscow to engage in a nuclear war with Washington, a political analyst tells. Well, you saw that on television. You saw it on the news there just a minute ago. The man from Washington saying NATO does not want peace. Remember when Japan was trying to surrender? And the president said, no, we're not going to take that now. We want to prove this atom bomb. So Hiroshima, and after Hiroshima and Nagasaki, they finally took their surrender. Evidence proves us true again, proves the house of Yahweh true again. Evidence exonerates rats as bearers of black plague, where they finally got proof from DNA that rats wasn't the carriers, was rats, but it's two-legged rats. Carrying it and spreading it with sneezes and touches and so forth. Now that's all in the news, backing up prophecy. You're a fool if you don't believe all that the prophets have spoken. That's what the Savior said. I was going to bring you about some other articles here, but I've got to cover some scriptures, and not much time to do that. The great Deacon Tovia is going to bring you this about the warships that are in the Black Sea now. Russia's planes, or a plane, fighter plane, was trying to provoke this ship to war, as they got an article on that too. But the cost, they've set up a props showing the scenario of the cost of this war, but it's not the cost that they're worried about, because the great eight, that the richest people in the world, now get this, Malachi Martin said these rich people could throw billions of dollars here and there, and they could, and their will was done. They're doing it with money. And Yahshua said that money is a root of all evil. Remember this. And of course, they're saying what nation stands and what nation falls. And that's what Malachi Martin brought out in his book. Malachi Martin had the plans of the Catholic Church. The city that sits on seven hills, the Roman Catholic Church, that is shown to us in prophecy. The great Kohan Shaul just brought you a a wonderful sermon, which helps me here because that part I won't have to bring now. And this, but I do want you to turn back to Genesis again, because there's no sensible reason for mankind other than the reason given us in the inspired writings of Yahweh's prophet. There is no sensible reason. Science has tried to prove it wrong, the creation wrong. The Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, is still trying to prove it wrong. Still trying to say that there wasn't the creation theory. It had to be a big bang or an accident, and then all these gods was produced for that same thing. And the gods, of course, are the gods of Egypt, but these gods are very relatively new, to mankind. They've been here for ever since the Yahweh created the first part of the universe. And they will be here. They work. The ones that follow them. They turn to evil. Do evil, and you'll be like the gods. Genesis 3, verse 5. Well, in 1:26, we see that Yahweh says, "I will make mankind in my likeness and in my image." That is now those who will allow this. Who will allow him to do so? Well, Yahweh should prove something even better in this same thing, because other scriptures show that Yahweh picked, chosen, preordained certain ones at the beginning to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, any of those, in fact, Yeshua said 3 out of 4 of them can fall away if they want to. And this is shown in other places besides what Yeshua said in Matthew, that 3 out of 4 will fall away in this time. But he picked and chose, Yahweh himself did, the ones that are sitting in this house right now to be brought to this house and taught. And he did this, yes, before the world began. If you just think of the wisdom this being has, that the world has rejected the wisdom to actually bring peace. Did you know there's been no peace on earth since man was created? No peace. And Yahweh, though, says, "I'm going to pick these, and I'm going to bring them forth. They're going to bring a Savior forth," which we honored last night. "They're going to bring a Savior forth that will die for their sins that they're now committing in rebellion against these laws that I gave them that would get them eternal life and a place in my kingdom." And even 3 out of 4 that he ordained to be called, Yeshua says, is going to fall away. But you think of it, you think, what other reason? How could we get here? You know how wonderful the body is made now. Because I brought out, how the body is made up of trillions of kingdoms of microorganisms. And they're working. There's millions of them working in your eyes right now, just letting you focus my face and sending that focus to your brain so you can see my face. Now think about that. And when you eat something that is unhealthy, then you start a war with microorganisms. Microorganisms are not dumb. They do their job well. And they're working right now to even to try to correct man's activities in the firmament. And they work to try to repair your body even after you damage your body. They work to try to repair your eye after you eat pork and get trichna in these kingdoms and these micro kingdoms in your eye. They still work to try to correct you. And try to keep your body seeing my face or anyone else's face. They're working to do that. You're wonderfully made, the psalm said. So you understand that. And of course, the Roman Catholic Church, in trying to create disbelief, is trying to bring forth, of course, that we just evolved started from a tadpole. Well, who created the tadpole? Well, he just happens, you know, anything could happen over a billion years. Surely it could. No, and they throw billions of years around like it was pocket change. It's idiocy. They're unlearned, foolish, ignorant men. Atheists, that's what an atheist is. He's just unlearned and ignorant of the Holy Scriptures. And if they would come here and just listen or read the book of Yahweh, they can't understand it because their minds are blocked, but if they'd come here and listen and determine to do what it says, Yahweh, and ask Yahweh for wisdom, he would actually give it to them. That's what the Psalms said. But speaking of the Psalms, turn over to the Psalms 110. 110, because this shows, after he says, I'm going to make man in my image and after my likeness, and I'm going to give him authority, those who will allow me to do so. Those who choose my righteousness, I'm going to give him authority. And here in Psalms 110 and verse 1, Psalms 110 and verse 1, found on page 480. I'd like for everyone to read this, if you would, because it helps to explain what Yahweh is doing to set up his kingdom. And right now, brethren, we're standing on the doorsteps, you know, waiting for Yahshua to open the door, as I'll show you here in just a little bit, hopefully. Yahweh said, Psalms 110 and verse 1, Yahweh said to my ruler, speaking of course, Yahshua Messiah, and king, set at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Well, of course, this was a prophecy now that the Savior, he said in the beginning in Genesis, he is going to create a Savior who was worthy, who would actually bring forth the scepter, the laws, teach them, live an example of them for you to see. That's what we honored last night. And of course, for you to practice, so you could become perfect like Yahshua and Yahweh. So right now, we see a prophecy saying he's going to sit, that is judge, that word sit there, as I brought out many times, means to judge. He's judge of the house of Yahweh. He said, I don't judge the world. He told you that. I'm judging the house of Yahweh, and then in Revelations he shows it more clearly, that he's sitting there as a judge, coaxing, trying to get the people to listen, to pay attention, to read, to study, to overcome, and saying, those who will overcome, I'm going to grant to sit with me in my kingdom, to judge with me in my kingdom. That was his word. Yahweh will send the rod of your strength. Well, you know that's talking about the branch now. Brought that out many times. He's saying, sit here and judge, because I'm going to send the rod, the branch of your strength, the strength that is the laws and the prophecies that he made very clear. If you remember the strength of Yahweh, Malachi 4, says this Eliyah, that means strength of Yahweh. And Yahshua said, if you would accept this, this is the strength of Yahweh. The laws and the prophecies are the strength of Yahweh, which was to come. And of course, he is bringing it and teaching it, and he and his disciples at that time. The strength out of those who keep Yahweh's laws. Well, yes, he chose those before the world was, those who would keep his laws, and he opened their minds to somewhat to understanding. So I'll bring that branch out of this strength, the laws of Yahweh, the laws and the prophecies. I will bring that branch out of this foundation laid by Yahshua. Yes, and you will rule in the midst of your enemies. That's Yahshua himself will rule. He's speaking to Yahshua saying, you're going to rule this people in the midst of your enemies, and you're going to judge them. Your people will be proved, will have proved themselves obedient to the laws on the day that you go forth in power. So he's setting to judge until he gets us fine-tuned so he can forever give us an order and we'll obey it. Yes. Obedience is the thing that will get you there. Believing into, trusting into the one sent, the one that he sent. They will unite with you arrayed in their holy garments. Like the morning dew, they will completely cover the earth, governing with you. That's us, brethren, he's speaking to here. That's you. You have just a little bit longer to wait. Yahweh has vowed an oath and will not relent nor change his mind. No, it's a perfect plan he has. You are a priest forever. This is a prophecy now about Yahshua predicting you're going to be a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, the righteous king who also taught peace as we are teaching peace right now. The Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. The rulers and kings at your right hand, O Yahweh, will strike through. That I've explained all this before, but strike through the heathen kings in the day of your wrath. That's mean judgment. When the judgments of Yahweh are coming true, which they are right now, the plagues are coming, as Yahweh said. That's what we see them building to. That's what the news is showing you. They don't want peace. NATO is saying it doesn't want peace. You just heard the man from Washington saying NATO says he does not want peace. They want war, and they want to wipe out now the ones who won't worship Mary. Malachi Martin told you this. It's also in the scriptures. How could anyone predict? Yeshua predicted this over 2,000 years ago. Showed us what was going to take place. Malachi Martin is showing the plans of the Catholic Church. He knows nothing about the Holy Scriptures, but he's showing the plans of the Catholic Church. NATO is the Pope's army. And NATO says, no, we don't want surrender. We don't want a peaceful solution. Forget that. We want nuclear war. First off, we want to depopulate the earth of everyone who won't worship Mary. That's their plans. And it's as you saw in the news just now. I didn't bring this. This was brought by Press TV and also brought by RT. Russia Today, they will execute judgment. Yes, Yahweh's judgments. First off, they got to learn Yahweh's judgments, right? Right? You got to learn Yahweh's judgments before you can teach them. Where do you learn them? Go to the house of Yahweh and do what they tell you to do. We're the only ones on earth that's teaching Yahweh's judgments. And telling you, practice these judgments. Yeshua was a perfect example of practicing these judgments. So practice these judgments and prove to Yahweh how long you can hold your anger, how long you can hold your bitterness and hatred, how hateful you can be with your mouth and your mind and your brain. No, you have to come here and overcome that. Yeshua said to him that overcomes, not to him that yields to it. How do you overcome? You do what the priest at the house of Yahweh, where Yahweh says, I will choose to place my name in the last days. You do what they teach you to do, humbly, without going to the right or to the left. That's what you're told to do, and that is what brings you to this overcoming. I would say 90% of the people here in this congregation are there. They're to that point. At least that, maybe more. They will execute Yahweh's judgments among the nations. Yes, if you remember, the house of Yahweh, in the last days I will establish my house. It'll teach Yahweh's way to all the nations. They'll beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hook. They will not learn war again. Sin never again. Got that? Sin never again. Don't forget those words. They will fill up the earth it says dead bodies. It's not dead bodies. We won't kill. We will resurrect. They will fill up the earth with those who they resurrect from the dead bodies, and we will teach them 100 years, Yahweh said. We're actually going to teach them 100 years, the ones who were not called, everyone who wasn't called. Everyone who sat here for 20 years in the house of Yahweh but was not called, and their minds just wouldn't connect with these prophecies and laws. Yes, if they die, we'll resurrect them. And they'll have minds unconfused at that time. And they will be given 100 years to be judged. And then the man dying in sin, that will be his second death, and he'll never live again. The man who dies in righteousness or comes to the end of this 100 years, he won't die. He'll be changed. That's what your scripture shows. That is the wonderful plan of Yahweh, that he will bring throughout the whole earth. Verse 7, the one who bestows succession will set them on their thrones. Yahweh will exalt them if you will just let him. Look back to chapter 8 of Psalms. Chapter 8. I know we've read this before, and I know I'm pointing out things that I never pointed out to you before, as I do in every sermon. I've never bring the same sermon twice. I was talking to one of the teachers of the future priest, and I said, you know, there's probably 100 sermons in every scripture. Every scripture. There's probably 1,000 in some scriptures. Sometimes it'll come from a word that points you to another word, or the meaning of a word, that a Hebrew word, the meaning, one of the meanings of the Hebrew word. But there's new meaning that comes in every one of my sermons, so don't miss one of my sermons. You'll miss out. Praise Yahweh. Chapter 8 of Psalm, he said, how excellent is your great name, Yahweh. Your name, that is your reputation, what the name Yahweh stands for. In all the earth, Yahweh, our sovereign king, you have your glory firmly set. Yes, your glory is of course, the laws of Yahweh that stand for righteousness, firmly set above the starry frame, even from the mouths of babes and sucklings. I couldn't believe this morning. I said, do you hear that young man speaking up there? That, you know, almost like a child, but he's bringing forth Yahweh's message greater than any preacher that I know of in Abilene. it's so pleasing to see this taking place. From the mouths of babes and suckling, strength, that is, the laws of Yahweh. The laws of Yahweh are ordained. So that's what they're doing. They're ordaining the laws of Yahweh. And people are saying, we should have done this. This is what we all should have done. Judges are saying this. Yes, judges. So you would still the enemy. Yes, that's what it's going to come to. Still the enemy. You're going to stop the enemies of Yahweh, which are the gods that the world is following right now. You're going to bring it to a halt. That's our job, to bring them to a halt. The avenger would be crushed. When we consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the work your fingers have framed. Yes, Yahweh created this. That's what his name means, part of it. He who creates. The work of the moon and the stars, which moon and the stars, they were up at 2 o'clock last night studying this with a strong telescope. And they're here sitting here in front of us now. I said, they're going to be sleepy in the morning. Well, I was up too. I had to get up to see that too. If you don't know it, there was a blood eclipse of the moon. You could. Came to pass. It started about. When I woke up at 12:20, I believe it was 12:20. I think it was about half or a little more than half over it, and I laid there. Looking at it for quite a while before I went to sleep. I didn't see the full eclipse, but I saw some of it. when we consider the heavens, the work your fingers have framed, how did they know there's going to be an eclipse last night? Well, now, if you studied astronomy, astronomy, which I tried to major in astronomy, and then I got to astrology, and that's when I quit because I didn't like what I was reading. But astronomy, I took a course at one of the local colleges here in Abilene, and because I wanted to learn it. And of course, you could see that the heavens work. You know, the idiots, the unlearned, the ignorant, they say, well, all of this just happened from a big bang and all these things are moving in the same direction. Well, no, that's not true. They're not moving in the same direction. And they can actually tell you several years in advance, like 400 or 500 years in advance or more, when this is going to take place the second time. And they told this in advance. They forecast this, that these planets were going to be lined up at a certain hour, a certain time, certain minutes. Now, you talk about clockwork. And they could show you how this took place so many years ago. And at the same time, and then the next time it would take place at the same time. So it's a perfect clock. It works like a perfect clock. Do you know mankind has never been able to invent a perfect clock? Now, what he's doing now, he gets a signal. We get a signal from Washington from a clock that is actually set every so many minutes, reset to keep up with the heavens that are perfect. Yes. And we get they got clocks now that you can set on your desk, and ever so often it'll get a signal from Washington. I think that's where the signal is coming from satellite, but it's set from Washington that sends a signal to that clock to reset itself, because mankind can't make anything perfect. Their automobiles crash; they get sued because they put faulty parts in automobile. Well, that's their schools of higher learning. But you got to remember there's another factor in mind. You got to make it cheap, but sell it high. Make it cheap and sell it high. Well, this is just talking about the things that Yahweh made. He is the creator, and he made it perfect, and he set it in order for mankind. And we're going to be put over this thing, and in the beginning was Yahweh's plan, and he's never altered that plan. He doesn't have to. It's perfect. He has that kind of ability. That is the being we're following right now. Well, that's the being the world cast off, refused its knowledge, refused his wisdom, his great wisdom, and said, no, we want to take ours by force. Man, what idiots. We want to cast aside Yahweh's protection and we want to take these villages by force. Well, at that time, there was plenty of them, plenty of villages they could take. I don't know if you've studied it or not. I think I've told you a few times, but in Israel, there was villages where they went away from the public because they didn't like what the kings were trying to force upon them. So they found virgin land and they went out and started a community much like this right here, an independent community where they all worked to take care of each other peacefully. And they wanted peace. They taught peace because that's what they saw the prophets teaching before their prophets were rejected by the 12 tribes of Israel. Well, this is what the Roman Catholic Church sent its army out to find. Said, there's thousands of people. There's millions of people out there. Let's go get them and bring them in here and force them to, under this oppression of what they got out of in Egypt, oppression, where you had to work and get a job, you had to pay taxes, big taxes. The government would take your boys and the girls and they would put them to work for them, the king would. That's what this told in 1 Samuel 8, if you remember. And they'll start them to making war machinery. Let's build ourselves the system of Nimrod, build ourselves a huge army, so we won't be scattered and we won't be taken into custody by someone else. We can withstand our enemies. Well, this is where it started, of course. And then it was showed to Daniel that this beastly system that will come down to us, the fourth beastly system, now called the, or was once called the Holy Roman Empire, that the Catholic Church was head of and wants to resurrect now. That's the plan. That's man's plan, to resurrect this empire. And he says, with the force of this empire, we won't have this people fighting against us and taking our money. Because people are leaving the Catholic Church and joining the Muslims who take care of their people, who keep down diseases, who protect their women. Unlike the women in the world, unlike the women out of the Muslim world, and the Muslims have nothing to do with Yahweh, but they are hanging on to some certain righteousness that keeps blessings coming their way because they're doing certain things. It keeps down plagues also. What the Catholic Church is teaching the people is bringing the plagues. The plagues that we're seeing right now, war is one of them. And pretty soon you're going to see nuclear war. But the Muslims, people were joining the Muslims, leaving the Catholic Church. That's the reason the plans was to resurrect the Roman Empire and put a stop to the people leaving the Catholic Church by destroying all the other religions. Now that's the plan for today. And Malachi Martin made it loud and clear, NATO is the Roman Catholic Church's army. NATO, we don't want peace. We don't want the peaceful solution. We're offering Babylon the peaceful solution. We're opposing Babylon at this time. Let me just finish this one. I know I'm going over time, but let me finish this one chapter here. For you have made him a little lower than the Malachim, or as the King James Version translates, angel. Angels. Now this is telling you there's heavenly beings that are active in heaven now. Yahweh tells you in other places that he sits in their council and tells them what he's telling you, and tells them you should be doing this and that, but what you're doing is causing wars and fighting on these planets. All of that is shown in prophecy right now. On the planets that Yahweh himself created and put these beings there, created them too, Satan was a created being, as Isaiah 14 shows. And she turned wanting to lusting for power and wealth, and she brought herself much wealth, Yahweh says. So they're seeking after wealth there as they are here. It's something to be desired. That's the reason that these pagan holidays of the gods was created, and they're brought forth forcefully. Today, they're taught in all the schools, taught on television. Everybody gets the teachings of these gods and saying, you know, this is a joy. Look how desirable this is. And you get all of these presents. All of these presents. Well, I brought out in the last sermon, what was it? 600 million women? Was that the number of it? Who was hunting jobs? They couldn't find jobs. They lost their jobs. They lost their houses. They lost their cars. This was just the women who had been divorced. Another thing that Yahweh hates, this is the oppression that the world is suffering. You won't find that in Yahweh's rule. Well, people are leaving the groups that are practicing these things, and they're seeing what the Muslims teach and how the Muslims take care of their people, following certain righteousness. And Yahweh said in prophecy, they're going to come after and try to destroy all forms of righteousness. And that's exactly what they're doing right now. And they're saying, we need to resurrect the Roman Empire, the Holy Roman Empire. Because then they had force rule, and anyone who didn't follow them in any way, or anyone who taught the laws of Yahweh, they took the book of Yahweh away from them. Well, that's not going to occur this time. The gates of hell will not prevail this time. And Yahweh says here, speaking of you now, for you have made him a little lower than the Malachim, that is mankind, the heavenly beings, but you will crown him with glory and honor. You made him to be the ruler, those who rule now as Yahweh, not those who rule by force as the Catholic Church does, but those who rule by as Yahweh rules, by teaching, instructing, counseling. We have it all here, right now. Teaching, instructing, counseling from the perfect laws of the great Father Yahweh. And we're teaching it, counseling throughout this feast. You can get it all right here to get you into this wonderful, eternal job that will bring peace not only to this earth. Now this peace, everything is going to be taken from this beast. They're going to destroy each other. Yahweh says you can't live like this for long. And he shows the 12 tribes of Israel, you won't be able to live this way for long, and I'm going to show you what your way is bringing. It's going to bring you in the end. In the end. The same time that the house of Yahweh was established, in the end. In the last days, he said, this is going to all come to an end. You're going to destroy yourselves. And the ones that are left alive, Yahweh says, I'm going to bring to my house, and they're going to learn and teach the ways of peace. You made man a little to be the ruler over the works of your hands. You have put all things under him, under his feet, all things, not yet, but you. This is a prophecy. All the food supply from the fowls, the sheep, everything. Verse 9, how excellent is your great name in all the earth. Now, if you think about it, he offered this same thing to Adam in the Garden of Eden and said, guard and keep it. This is what you need to guard and keep in order to bring peace, but also to have a place in my kingdom, a forever place in my kingdom. You've got to guard and keep this way. Well, of course, that's what we're getting ready to do. That's what we're being trained to do, to guard and keep. So, sin, never again. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the service's net back to the next speaker. I love you!